Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now on a timely interview is Eric Gunderson again, Blazer Banter Substack. Good morning, Gundy. How much stock have you accumulated between Friday and now of Young Hansen LLC?
I mean, there's a lot of sellers these days, so it's pretty easy to buy it at a pretty cheap price. You know, I mean, it was funny. That interview was hilarious. Yeah, man. I mean, I know it's definitely a minority opinion these days to still be high on Hansen. But I mean, I do think he still has. I think he has some skills, and I think a lot of stuff defensively that he's got to learn is all like mental stuff. I think he can get there. It's just like he's got to learn this game. But I do think he has a great feel still, and I think when you're watching the playoffs, guys that have high feel are succeeding when, you know, the scouting reports are super tight and dialed. But, you know, it's going to be a long time before Hansen's seeing the floor in the playoffs. I know that much.
Well, let me ask you this, Gundy, because I'm curious. I saw your tweet and I just started laughing because everybody's responding to you and everybody's yelling at each other about Young Hansen stock, right? Now, the one area that I will grant you, because every time I've seen him step onto an NBA floor, it's like he looks slow. It doesn't look like there's no impact that's anywhere near the short-term future. The one thing that I will grant you, Gundy, is the basketball savant that you are. You watch G League tape. You watch G League highlights. You watch G League games. I don't. I've never watched a G League game in my. Actually, that's not true. The Scoot Wemby game I did watch one time. Outside of that, I haven't seen it. So when you're seeing him play at obviously a lower level, what is it about the highlights that you watch that gives you that hope that maybe some of the people that the fears that people have about when he steps onto the NBA floor won't be quite as large?
I mean, the first thing that stands out is that he's a great screen setter, which I know is like a really people be like, okay, yeah, that's easy. But like, I mean, he really makes impact. And then like when he rolls, it's almost like he's creating space in the lane, almost like a fullback and like a guy that can drive like right behind him to get to the rim. And his passing is super, super strong. His post moves are improving. I think all those things, I really like that. When I watched him in the G League playoffs, they were, you know, teams were forced to double team him and try to get the ball out of his hands and make someone else beat them, which to me, if these teams in the G League are showing that respect to him, he's got to be doing something right if you're getting double teamed. And so like those are signs to me that like it's not all is not lost with the kid. And also too, like he's a kid, he is learning a completely new language, he's learning a completely new game. And like I think one of the things that, you know, was slowly being, you know, known is like this guy didn't have to box anybody out in China. This guy didn't have to chase out shooters to the 3-point line in China and rotate because they weren't making threes like even G League players do. And so like I think a lot of his game is a lot of what is happening right now is learning the speed of the game and where actions come from. I mean, I don't think he's like any slower than Donovan Clingan. I just think Clingan has played more high level basketball and knows where attacks are going to come from and where, you know, where a drive is going to be or where a guy on the backside where you can anticipate. And anticipation is such a big part of being a good big man. And I think that is going to come with time and reps. But I think the G League is a good place to learn that, especially against quicker players. But yeah, it's going to be a while. He still needs to work on stuff. And this is a huge summer for him. This is his first, you know, full summer as an NBA player in an NBA program. And I'm excited to see, you know, how he looks coming into next year. Like I am still intrigued by his talent. And even though, you know, yeah, he looked bad this season, but I think also too, with young players, a lot of times like with Scoot, it'll look bad before it's going to get better. And I think that's something to remember about young players.
I cannot believe on May 18th we are talking about Young Hansen. I don't know what that says about all of us, but I love that it's happening. Now,
I just love the take because Gundy is setting himself up for the. If this turns out to be a situation where he gets good, Gundy is going to have the ultimate last laugh
on everybody. Look, I want to move on because there's other stuff that actually happened. I didn't think there would be, but there was. And so before I do that, I just want to ask very quickly. So if we sign Rob Will or don't sign Rob Will, like, he needs to learn the game. Give me the there has to be a deadline on this. This can't be a 9-year open-ended take and he pops in like year
window.
8.
5-year-old Neil O'Shea window. Give it time.
Is it 2 more seasons? Like, you think we see it pop in 2 more seasons and then it's bust or no bust type stuff?
I think you got to start seeing some growth in his game, you know, I think starting next season.
Okay.
I think you do have to start seeing it. Like, he's got to have some level of productivity. Look, if Rob comes back, there's still going to be a lot of games where he won't play. So, which means that should be opportunities for Hansen to play. I do think if this team wants to be a, you know, take a next step, I do think they need to keep Rob, though. Like, I think that is a non-negotiable. And I think Rob, too, like, great feel for the game, good passer out of the pick and roll. And that's also, too, something I'd love to see Donovan Klingon develop, because I think when teams sell out on Denny or when they were double-teaming Scoot, like, there was just not a whole lot there. And so, like, they've got to be able to make some plays when, you know, these guys are getting double-teamed.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Yeah. Eric Gunderson, our guest here, Blazer Substack, Blazer Banter is where you can find him on social media.
All right, a lot of talk, Gundy, about we're going to lose the Portland Trail Blazers to the Seattle Super Blazers or maybe the Kalamazoo Kazoos.
Oh, yeah.
We got a cheap owner who doesn't travel two-way, guys, and won't buy us T-shirts. I'm assuming you watched the interview with Kellerman and Rich Paul over the weekend and some in-depth stuff that we really, I mean, outside of the press conference really for Dundon and some written interviews, we haven't really got a chance to hear from him. I'm curious what you made of what he said, and did it settle any of the fears that you have?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, he comes across relative, you know, pretty likable in the interview. I you know, obviously he was saying that it was, I think he was talking about the two-way players being a distraction. I don't think that's necessarily like why they're there. Like, obviously they're helping the team to like go through walkthroughs and to be someone that other guys can work out against and things like that. I think he also, the admission that like, he just didn't understand what he was getting into. And that is different from hockey. I thought was a good admission of humility. And so, I thought the interview was interesting. There was some, you know, some odd tangents in it for sure. But like, I came away feeling good, and he talked about the arena, and it seemed like, again, he was, you know, using the references to Carolina and how everyone thought they were going to move it. And it's like, they worked out a deal. And I think what's happening right now between the city and the Blazers is a negotiation. Which is exactly what happened in Raleigh when they got, you know, the arena renovated and things like that. So, you know, of course there's still, until the vote gets done, of course, there's going to be some anxiety though. On whether it gets done or not, but it doesn't seem like he's like pushing it. And one of the other things too, is like, you know, relocation is complicated. And it's also, I think the underlying thing is there's a fee.
<There's>, right.
And so like, he clearly doesn't seem, you know, very keen on paying money for no reason. So I think he really does want to keep the team here. I just think it's on, you know, the city now to actually make sure that happens.
Yeah, we'll get to the audio clips when we get done with you, but I think you're so right of like, people just overlook the fact, like, the same people that want to call him this big cheapskate are just not talking about that he's gonna have to pay money,
hundreds of millions of dollars,
if he wants to relocate a franchise to an arena that he doesn't own, and he'll have to kind of be at the whims of another city. Now let me ask you this. I'm just kind of curious with Tom Dundon and kind of the narratives about him, and I've talked with people off the record about it, other media members in the market and stuff. And I certainly wouldn't try to act like it hasn't been evident or we haven't seen elements that are cheap. He admittedly himself will just tell you, like, I think there's ways to save a couple bucks. And maybe that's a big deal in the NBA. Maybe it ultimately will prove not to be a big deal. But what have you made of just, there just seems to be a weird thing about this. For most of my lifetime, it's been, they're going to leave. And it's like, people take turns writing the same story and have for my entire life. And so, like, if they sign a lease, I think we're going to, on the show, celebrate a party and kind of laugh at everybody that's been writing about it. I'm kind of curious your just general thoughts of, like, why this forever is just going to be a story. Like, even if they signed a 25-year lease, I feel like somebody in year four of that lease would be like, why that lease might not be such a sure thing.
Not ironclad.
Click on my article to read why.
You know, I do think, look, as much as, like, we love Portland, we love where we live, there is a bit of an inferiority complex around here. Yeah. About the city, where people just around here just love to, you know, shoot it down, even though they all live here too. And it's like, I don't know, I don't really get it. Like, I don't know what they gain from it, the self-deprecation, but not in a funny way. It's like this anxiety thing. And they also know that, I think, Portland fans are like, they are worried about it. And sports fans do worry about potentially losing the team. So, you know, I think it's just always going to be a well. And it kind of also aligns with, like, a lot of the narratives about Portland big picture wise, where it's like, oh man, like, I can't believe this. It's just another sign that the city is failing and all this stuff. And it's like, people just love to be sad. I mean, I think that's also something about some part of it. We always love to find a way to be like, no, it can't be this.
We can't have nice things. I've been saying it for like 5 years now. This is why.
I agree. You're totally right, Sprig.
Just annoying.
For you, Gundy. I'm excited for this offseason. I think one of the things in change of ownership, at least it has given me hope that I think we'll have some fireworks this summer. And not to say that Jody was never capable of doing that, but we certainly got kind of a blueprint of let's just run it back, kind of same team, pretty similar look year after year. I do expect big moves. Are you with me? Are you thinking this is a fireworks summer for Portland?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think Dundon, you know, clearly is very competitive. And, you know, I think one of the good things about him is that, like, you know, in the national media and a lot of fans of Western Conference teams with this Oklahoma City, San Antonio Western Conference Finals are like, woe is us. Is anyone ever going to beat them? Is this going to be the conference finals for the next 7 or 8 years? And I think Dundon doesn't care about that. I think Dundon's like, no, let's line it up and let's play. And mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the things I like about him is his competitiveness. And so, I do expect there to be some big moves. Obviously, I think my caution is make sure it's the right one. If you're going to put chips on the table, like these draft picks and stuff like that, because, you know, I know that these are out in 2028 and 2029 and all that stuff. But one of the reasons why Oklahoma City is Oklahoma City is they had those other picks from other teams and were able to take more shots at the apple in the draft. And so for a market like Portland, you don't want to just give that up unless you're getting something that is truly special in return.
Final one for you there, Gundy, because we appreciate the time early. I know you got a busy day ahead of you. Just the Stein and Hyken stuff have come out about coaches and names being thrown out. I don't know when they'll announce it. I assume it feels like they're kind of close to making an announcement. We got names out there. Jared Dudley, Steve Hetzel, Mike Anori from Minnesota. And then one of the interesting ones that emerged is we had somebody leave the lead assistant job at a pretty nice place at Steve Kerr and Steph Curry to throw his hat back in the ring and say, I want to go back to Portland, walk, hello down, Tear Bear, Terry Stotts.
Oh, yeah.
Where would you be right now of the names you've heard? Like, I don't know how to separate the assistants because we've never seen them be largely head coaches, but like Terry Stotts being back in the equation and where you're at with the coaching search.
I mean, hey, I love Terry Stotts. I think too, this team, you know, half court offense, they could use a guy who's a great offensive tactician in Terry Stotts. Now, I do want to say, I still think it would be kind of bad karma for the basketball gods if they did not bring Tiago Splitter back, but it does seem like they're probably not going to do that. I guess of all the other guys, I mean, I'm into the idea of Mike Anori. You know, Chris Finch is, I think, one of the best coaches in the NBA to learn from. But, I mean, the Terry thing is intriguing. So, yeah, there's a lot of names. And then Steve Hetzel, you know, Summer League champion. I mean, come on, guys. Blazers Summer League legend. So, you know, that's also, you know, a factor here. So, Yeah, no, but the names, I mean, when you're interviewing like 30 people, you know, you're going to find your way to some good names, I think, eventually.
We'll get you out of here. I like what you said there, although I have an admission with you. I've lived my whole life with the belief, and I think I've given up the idea and belief in basketball gods. I think I'm a sports atheist now. The Mavericks winning the lottery and the Wizards winning the lottery have not given me any faith that sports gods or basketball gods specifically are real. I think I'm out. I'm a basketball atheist.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty awful to give the Mavericks the number one pick after doing the stupidest thing.
We can't be doing
seen
this.
In a long time.
Okay, see, steals a team and they're getting nothing but MVPs?
Yeah,
come on.
Oklahoma City's reigning supreme, yeah. Three different versions of it.
They're
what are
the
we doing?
The devil here? Reincarnated. They keep getting rewarded, man.
Find his Substack, give all his hot takes. He got things like, hey, I'm buying all the Yong Hansen stock.
If you got
up.
Stock, he'll buy it from you right now.
And he's one of my favorite ball knowers out there, even when I don't agree with him. He's a good friend of the program. Eric Garcia Gunderson, Blazer Banter Substack. Thank you, Gundy. We appreciate the time.
Appreciate it, guys.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.